Classic Collections brings you the Fashion Connection on 900 AM, the Talk of the Palm Beaches. Visit classiccollectionsofpalmbeach.com to find out more about Palm Beach's premier luxury designer and fashion resale boutique.
Hey, it's Dia from our sister station 95.9 The Palm, and this is the Fashion Connection brought to you by Palm Beach's premier designer and fashion consignment boutique, Classic Collections. One-of-a-kind pieces, trending fashions, incredible vintage pieces, you can find it all at Classic Collections, known for their unbelievable selection of luxury merchandise by the most exclusive designers. And whether you're looking to learn more about fashion, how to be a savvy shopper, or how to consign a few treasures you have hanging in your closet right now, this is the perfect show for you. With me every week, my co-host, owner of Classic Collections, and fashion expert, Sally Kimball.
Hey, Dia, how you doing?
I'm really excited. Last week was a lot of fun, and I learned so much about specific handbags, and I know that this week is kind of going to be a part two because it was so much information, it was impossible to fit it all into one show.
Truly, truly.
So give us a little bit of a recap on what we touched base on last week.
Okay, well, we talked about the history of handbags, how they came about. Actually, men started wearing them centuries before women.
Which is crazy. I told my boyfriend that. He was like, really? I'm like, yeah. Now let me explain the history of zippers to you.
And they hadn't discovered pockets yet. Let's remember that. Pockets
right.
were important after the discovery of handbags, and that's when men stopped carrying them and the women started carrying them. So we talked about that, and we opened the discussion of investment handbags. This is what I call the triple crown of handbags. So last week we discussed Hermès and how they came about developing their different styles of handbags and why they are considered the top handbag in the world, and how long it takes to make them, and the different types of materials that are used, and the fact that they sell at auction for $250,000. So that is definitely one of the main points on the crown of the triple crown of investment handbags. Today, we're going to discuss what I consider to be the other two points of the crown, Louis Vuitton and Chanel. If we have time at the end of the show, we're just going to touch on evening clutches because, especially down here in Florida where there's a lot of social events and cultural events, people do go out at night and they do wear very, very lovely evening bags. So let's start this section with Louis Vuitton.
Louis, which we already learned in one of the last shows, it is one of the most copied.
It's the most replicated, knocked off, counterfeit design that has ever been copied.
Exactly. So don't let anyone fool you.
Yeah, be careful with those Louis. Let me give you a little bit of history about Louis Vuitton. The company was founded in 1854 by Louis Vuitton, primarily as a luxury luggage and trunk company. In 1987, it became part of the giant conglomerate LVMH, which includes Louis Vuitton, Moët and Chandon, Bulgari, Guerlain, Sephora, and many, many other top luxury brands. It's headed by Bernard Reynaud, who is known for his very acute business and fashion sensibilities. He's just really quite a remarkable chairman of the board of that company. LV is the brand's Louis Vuitton, LV to us, is the company's biggest brand, and it accounts for one-third of the sales and nearly half of its profit. This is a little bit dated statistic, but in 2013, the valuation of the brand was $28.4 billion, and they had sales of $9.4 billion just in the United States alone.
That is ridiculous.
It's crazy. They operate in 50 countries. They have more than 462 stores worldwide. And, you know, the real fashion critics kind of sniff that the canvas creation, like the Neverfull tote or the Speedy bag, which is covered with the iconic, you know, LV logo and sold by the hundreds of thousands, are commodities. To the real critics, they are considered just a commodity. It's not a luxury type of bag. They are large, mass-produced factories all over the world. that produce the Louis Vuitton handbags rather than handcrafted by trained artisans employing centuries-old methods, frankly, very much like the way Hermès still manufactures their bags.
Right.
And they have a point, the critics, but I've got to tell you, it's really very, very hard to argue with the success and the dollar amounts that I just quoted before.
Exactly. And I was going to say, and it's not a lot of people, like I have one Louis that was given to me as a gift from someone who had used it, and it's still a gorgeous bag and I love it, but it's still, I mean, it's not like I have 30 of them laying around the house.
Well, the part of the reason is they last forever. In fact, let me give you a little bit of history about why. After making his canvas waterproof satchels, the original Louis Vuitton graduated in 1858 to use that same canvas waterproof material to make flat-bottomed trunks, traveling trunks,
which
luggage,
are really popular still.
Right, that could be actually stacked. Prior to that, suitcases were handheld and were more of a sack. And he came up with the idea to make a trunk or a suitcase that could be stacked one on top of each other, because back in the day, they were still traveling by train and by coach and horses, and there was really no way to secure all of those satchels without mushing the stuff inside.
Right. That makes
sense.
So
he developed the stackable luggage, and the wood, and they are exactly done the same way today. The wooden frames are made of 30-year-old poplar wood that has been dried for 4 years, and each trunk takes up to 60 hours to make, and each flat suitcase that's a hard suitcase takes as many as 15 hours. Louis Vuitton's first canvas design actually was striped, and in an effort to discourage counterfeiters, he developed what we call the damier check print. So people were, even back in the 1850s and 60s, counterfeiting and copying his designs. In an effort to really try to make it difficult to copy, in 1896, the company launched its signature monogram canvas, and they make worldwide patents on it. So now with the graphic symbol, if you think of the Louis Vuitton, the iconic monogram, it's got quadrifoils and flowers and the iconic initial LV. And once they put all that together, the counterfeiting back in the late 1800s pretty much stopped. Obviously, as we discussed on the Counterfeiting of Luxury Goods show, it's back with a vengeance. But Louis Vuitton is really, really the top-of-the-line company that goes after aggressively counterfeiting companies, knock off people who sell them on the streets, and they have been extremely victorious worldwide in getting the stuff off the market. Unfortunately, there will always be a counterfeiter ready and able to do the new designs they bring out. So just a cautionary point, if you get a Louis Vuitton piece of luggage or handbag and you don't buy it in the store, you buy it in a consignment shop, for instance, we authenticate every single Louis Vuitton piece that comes in because of the reputation of the wide counterfeiting of that brand. Now, a lot of the famous handbags that we still see today were developed in the early 1900s. In 1930, the Keepall bag was introduced, and in 1932, the No bag, that's N-O-E, and it's a very interesting design, and it was originally produced to carry bottles of champagne. So when you see that very distinctive No bag style, which is basically a shoulder bag that is a deep bucket type bag, it was created to carry 3, 4, 5 bottles of champagne, which is kind of cool. Shortly thereafter, the Speedy bag was developed, and it is still produced today in a variety of sizes and materials. So you can get a Speedy, a small one, a medium one, a large one, an extra large one. You can get it in the original Louis Vuitton monogram print. You can get it in the Damier print. You can get it in the new designer prints they do in different colors. And they also put out limited editions every year for the Speedy and the Keep All bags, and they sell out immediately because they are limited, and the collectors in the world snap them up at never to be seen again.
Does Louis have an amount of bags that you're allowed to buy every year, or do
no,
they let us
no.
buy?
They are not like Hermes, where they have a maximum amount of two bags that you can buy per year. You can buy as many as you want, and the Louis Vuitton aficionados, the minute they know something's being released, they will line up at the Louis Vuitton stores, and that bag will be gone by the end of the day.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
It's amazing. They don't buy one. They buy three, four. They're buying for their friends. They're buying for Christmas presents. They're buying for whatever. So it's just kind of interesting.
People love their bags.
Exactly. In 1959, Louis Vuitton revamped its signature monogram canvas to make it more supple, allowing it to be used more for purses and bags, wallets, and other small luxury leather goods. In 1966, the famous Papillon bag was introduced. It's a very cylindrical bag, and it was a major hit. In 1985, Louis Vuitton invented the Epi leather bag. Now, that is a solid color bag made in red and black and a beautiful blue and kind of a saffron yellow. They made it in a kind of a deep forest green, and that does not have any logo except the stamped LV on the bottom of the purse toward the bottom edge, not the bottom, but toward the side bottom of the front of the bag. And all it is an impressed LV. So while you may not want to buy Louis Vuitton because of the excessive identification of the monograms, you want to be, you know, more quiet about the brands that you buy, the Epi leather purses, handbags, luggage pieces do not have the monograms. It's just a very distinct kind of textured leather that almost looks like wood grain, but in the different colors. It's really kind of cool.
Yeah, that sounds gorgeous.
As the brand grew, they hired artistic creators like Marc Jacobs, who came to the house in 1997, and they formed artistic alliances with fabulous celebrities like Sharon Stone, who designed the vanity case that benefited the Foundation for AIDS Research. We had one at the shop, only one that we've ever had, and we sold it for $45,000.
That's incredible.
And all of the money.
How much did it sell for originally?
Originally, it sold for $25,000.
Okay.
It was a limited edition, but now because it's so coveted and you can't find them, they command a price much like a very expensive piece of
art
or
pieces.
Antique. It is an investment piece. Oddly enough, as I said, Louis Vuitton was one of the most counterfeited brands in the fashion world due to its image as a status symbol. As I said, that monogram canvas was created to prevent counterfeiting. In 2004, Louis Vuitton fakes accounted for 18% of the counterfeit accessories seized just in the European Union countries. So they became extraordinarily proactive after that time, and they have armies of attorneys going after the counterfeiters, which
yeah,
is
so
kind
watch
of,
out. You don't absolutely. Want to be caught on that side.
Absolutely.
So when we come back, we're going to be talking about Chanel too. Is that right?
We're going to be talking about Chanel, which is the third point of our Triple Crown investment bags. And then given time, we will be talking a little bit about the beautiful evening clutches primarily made by companies such as Judith Lieber.
Good, because I have a wedding coming up, so I need some good tips.
We can help you there.
We'll be back in just a minute with the Fashion Connection. Don't forget to stop by Classic Collections of Palm Beach at 118 North County Road in Palm Beach, Florida. You can give them a call at 561-833-3633. And of course, visit them online, classiccollectionsconnections.com. Check out Chic Magazine. It's updated every month, and all of the past radio shows that are available there right after we perform them live. So go take a look. ClassicCollectionsConnections.com. We'll be right back.
Owner and fashion expert of Classic Collections of Palm Beach, Sally Kimball has created the perfect spot for anyone with a true passion for fashion. Top current trends or something vintage and unique, Palm Beach's premier designer and luxury consignment boutique, Classic Collections, has everything from fine jewelry to Chanel, Hermes, Pucci, Oscar de la Renta, and more. Visit ClassicCollectionsOfPalmBeach.com or come enjoy the couture in person. But get this, you can also enjoy our couture from home thanks to Classic Collections Chic Magazine. On the first of every month, visit ClassicCollectionsConnections.com to see the newest issue of Chic Magazine and subscribe. Find our newest arrivals, special sales, fashion features, lifestyle topics, and all of the things the fashion world has to offer. You'll also find every episode of our radio show, The Fashion Connection, under a section called On the Radio. So now, you don't have to worry about missing an episode live on 900 AM, the talk of the Palm Beaches. Don't forget to find us on Facebook as well as Instagram. Be chic, stay chic, and read chic. And don't forget, offering the most beautiful things in the world, the largest luxury resale website has our pieces online too. That's firstdibs.com. 1stdibs.com. Enjoy!
Classic Collections brings you The Fashion Connection. On 900 AM, The Talk of the Palm Beaches, visit ClassicCollectionsOfPalmBeach.com to find out more about Palm Beach's premier luxury designer and fashion resale boutique.
Welcome back to The Fashion Connection. I'm Dia Ryan. With me, of course, fashion expert and owner of Classic Collections of Palm Beach, Sally Kimball. And I do want to invite you to go online. Of course, check out Chic Magazine at ClassicCollectionsConnections.com. All of our past radio shows so you can get caught up on everything fashion inspired. I mean, fashion trends, how to be a savvy shopper, how to shop at the right times. The holidays are just around the corner. We have a whole show about how to find the perfect time to do your shopping, save some money, and know the value of the pieces that you're buying, how to consign, what consigning is all about. We've done it all, right, Sally?
We have, and we're going to do a lot more.
It's exciting. But today, we are doing part two of our, what did you call it?
The investment handbags, the triple crown of handbags.
The triple crown of handbags. So we're touching on all the triple crown of handbags right now, and we touched base on Hermes, we touched base on Louis Vuitton, and now we're touching base on
Chanel.
Chanel, part of the triple crown. So take it from here.
Okay. Well, as many of you know, Coco Chanel was the founder of her company.
Did you see her movie?
I did not. I'm waiting to see it with a bunch of my fashionista
girlfriends.
You're
going to like it. I saw it on a plane.
I just read two books on her, and they were both fabulous.
I loved it. She's
I know.
So, great.
So iconic. Let me give you a little bit of history about the company. Chanel is a French privately held company. It's owned by Alain and Gerard Wertheimer, who basically are the grandsons of Pierre Wertheimer, who was an early business partner of Miss Gabrielle Bonheur Chanel. Chanel is a high fashion house that specializes in haute couture and ready-to-wear clothes, luxury goods, and fashion accessories. In her youth, Gabrielle Chanel gained the nickname Coco from her time as a chanteuse. And if you need to ask about that, you really need to see more French movies. In fact, in June of this year, I went to Paris, and part of my fun part of the trip was I went to a little restaurant called Madeleine, and that is where Coco Chanel had lunch every single day of her life while she worked and owned the House of Chanel. So I went in, and I felt very personally connected with Coco.
That's so awesome.
I know. So Coco catered very much to women's taste for elegance and dresses with blouses and suits. And she actually got women to begin wearing trousers and more a little bit feminine things, which came away from the men's clothing. They were very constricted and over-designed in 19th century fashion. And the Chanel product brands have been personified by fashion models and actresses. And, you know, you see a Chanel piece and you know it immediately. Catherine Deneuve was one of her original models. Vanessa Paradis, Nicole Kidman, Keira Knightley, Marilyn Monroe. All of these ladies swore by and wore by the House of Chanel.
Even their perfumes are so distinct.
Well, that was a major part of her early success. While the House of Chanel is known for its little black dress, the perfume number 5 and the Chanel suit really were the three pillars of that empire. Chanel used jersey fabrics and produced the garments that were comfortable and affordable. She revolutionized fashion and everyday fashion and high fashion. I want to tell you a little bit about her products today. She does have the haute couture, ready-to-wear lines, perfume lines, jewelry, accessories, and of course, the handbags, which we're going to talk about today. The revenue in 2016 for the House of Chanel was $5.2 billion, and the net income was $1.43 billion. They employ about 1,300 people worldwide, and Karl Lagerfeld is the creative director of the company right now. I want to give you a little bit of history of how she came to get to the point of handbags. Originally created in 1909, she opened a millinery shop in Paris on the ground floor of a socialite, and it was a salon for other socialites to come and have cocktails and talk about culture and all of that type of thing. So she had an opportunity to meet these women of fashion in Palm Beach, I'm thinking of my own store, in Paris, upon whom rich men really displayed their wealth. A lot of these ladies were mistresses, and what she did originally is she made hats for them. And so she earned a living independent of her financial sponsor, which kind of was a sugar daddy. And in the course of attending all these salons with these other people, she met her own sugar daddy, and he wound up being with her for many, many years. He helped her buy, in 1910, her first independent millinery shop, and then it went very quickly from selling millinery products to couture products for ready-to-wear sports clothes for women. And actually, she started at that point to open a shop near the Hotel Ritz in Paris, 31 Rue Cambon, which where clothes were made for the more feminine and elegant events that women were attending at the time. In 1915 and 1917, Harper's Bazaar, which was around back then, reported that the garments of the House of Chanel were, quote, on the list of every buyer, end quote, for the clothing factories of Europe. So they really, really took off in that little shop. It's kind of interesting to know that she was such a young gal, and yet she had such a feeling for what women wanted, bringing them into a more modern yet feminine appearance, and they were still comfortable and practical to maintain. At such a young age, she had that fashion knowledge, which I think is remarkable. During the 20s and the 30s, she expanded her empire. Things got very, very feminine. Summer dresses featured silver eyelets, and shoulder straps were decorated with rhinestones, and in the, you know, very flapper type. And in 1932, she presented an exhibition of jewelry that was dedicated to the diamond as a fashion accessory. Of course, now these people had already gone through World War I, and things were starting to ramp up, and World War II was coming. So the women of the day could not buy real jewelry. They had to default to imitation jewelry, and she produced some absolutely beautiful things. You still see her pearls today, her melted glass, which is called gris-pois, named after the gentleman who created the process. So when you see a piece with beautiful emerald colors and ruby colors, it looks like the real thing, but it really was melted glass. After World War II, a lot of people thought Coco Chanel was a Nazi collaborator. And so after the war, she pretty much took herself out of the market. She felt people didn't love her anymore, and she went to Switzerland, and she exiled herself from France completely. And it took her a long time to feel comfortable and confident enough to come back with the Chanel name to Paris. In Switzerland, she revived her perfume line tremendously and eventually moved back to Paris with her benefactor at the time, whose sons continued to be the owner of the shop, Pierre Wertheim. So he finally convinced her to come back to Paris And in May 1947, they renegotiated all their perfume contracts, and she had a resurgence in 1953 when she opened her fashion business, enamoring in capturing the new look of the time, which was very full skirts, narrow waists, and all of that thing. So to regain the business primate, premier spot of the House of Chanel, she came back again with haute couture, prêt-à-porter, which is ready to wear, her costume jewelry, her perfume, and finally decided in 1953 to bring out handbags. And when she decided to do the handbags, she found the best people that she could, and she presented these leather handbags with either gold-colored chains or metal and leather chains, which allowed the carrying of the handbag from the shoulder or in the hand. The most famous Chanel handbag is called the 2.55, and the reason for that, it was a quilted leather handbag presented in February of 1955, and that's why it's called, even today, oh, did you get a bag? Yes. Which one did you get? I got the 2.55, and that is just known to fashionistas worldwide. Throughout the 1950s, she continued to venture into more handbags and more perfumes and developed handbags that we still see today. Wallet on a chain, the boy bag, backpacks, small leather goods, and the classics like the 2.55 were developed in all different sizes. There were like six sizes at one time, different leathers, different materials, and really a wide range. In 1983, Karl Lagerfeld took over as the chief designer for Chanel. And like Chanel, he looked into the past for his inspiration for his designs. In later collections, he chose to break away from the ladylike look that Chanel had created, and he began to experiment really with a lot of different fabrics and styles. During the 1980s, there were more than 40 Chanel boutiques opened worldwide. And by the 1980s, the end of that decade, the boutiques sold goods ranging from, I'd say, $200 per ounce perfume and $225 ballet slippers to $11,000 dresses and $2,000 to $7,000 leather handbags. Today, Chanel, in my opinion, is the third point on the triple crown of investment handbags. As a consignor owner, we see a lot of the old classics come into the shop. They are often not found in the Chanel stores anymore. And because they were so beautifully made, and made sometimes with very soft leather, but so carefully taken care of, or they were made with what they call the caviar leather, which is very indestructible. And again, always perfectly put together. She used craftsmen much like Hermes used craftsmen, and they are still made that same way today. Obviously, you may see a Chanel bag. They have three different logos, but the most popular one is the opposed letters C. One faces left, one faces right, and that double C was a registered trademark when she first established her shops, and they are still being used. An authentic Chanel classic handbag retails from around $4,000 in the United States now. That's a starting price. And the counterfeiters, by the way, sell them for around $200. And you can tell the difference. They do have holograms hidden inside them. We can authenticate them.
And you can't fool classic collections.
No, you can't. And from those holograms, we can even tell you what year the handbag was made and what collection it came from. And we have really gained a lot of knowledge about Chanel.
That's incredible. And if you want to buy your own incredible Chanel pieces, Classic Collections really is the perfect place to go, because I see you guys bringing in pieces from all over the world all the time.
We do, and we have them up on First Dibs, and we sell these handbags to women all over the world. I wake up every morning and there's five or six orders from different time zone, different countries I never even frankly really knew where they were. Brunei, I just learned, is down by in the South Pacific. But we ship these bags out every day, and it's fabulous because people look for them, and some of the classics you just can't find anymore.
Except at Classic Collections.
And
so
there
visit
you go.
Them online. ClassicCollectionsConnections.com. Take a look at their Chic magazine, updated every month, and all of the past radio shows so that you too can become a fashion expert just like Sally. Sally, thank you so much for everything.
You are welcome so much. Come in and take a look at the Triple Crowns.
118 North County Road, Palm Beach, Florida. You can also give them a call, 561-833-3633. I'm Dia Ryan. This is Sally Kimball, and we'll see you next week.
Absolutely looking forward to it. I don't know.